A design plan for the shuttle ferries is released, and smoke from Yukon wildfires hover over the area. It's KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The latest design for new shuttle ferries includes covered car decks, but it doesn't address some other concerns, such as minimal food service. What's called a design study report for the Alaska-class shuttle ferries was released Monday. Two ships are planned for Juneau, Haines, and Skagway sailings. Marine Highway spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says the report calls for a fully enclosed car deck. Earlier plans left the rear part open.
The point of shielding the car deck from extreme weather really isn't the main reason behind it. The more of a reason is that the additional cost really wouldn't be that much to the point where it wouldn't be worthwhile leaving it open.
Longtime passengers and community leaders objected to an open car deck, saying salt spray and ice would damage vehicles. Skagway tugboat captain Mike Korsmo serves on the State Marine Transportation Advisory Board. He likes the change.
So yeah, that's good. That's a good thing. That's I think that was kind of a clear message that they got, that it didn't seem like people wanted to see an open car deck.
Size and capacity requirements have not changed much since the last proposal. Shuttle ferries would be 280 feet long, larger than the small ferry Leconte, which sails the route part of the year. They will have indoor seating for 300 passengers and parking for about 50 trucks and vehicles. A larger ferry design discarded late last year called for several small quiet rooms for families, the sick or the elderly. That's been dropped, but Woodrow says some options remain.
There's going to be a theater lounge as well as a children's area, family area, and then a what's called a library or a quiet room as well. That kind of acts as what we see on our larger vessels, kind of like the observation lounge, which is tends to be a quieter area.
Plans continue to call for a small food court and vending machines. The ships are designed to sail 12-hour days, not overnight. The design will include bow and stern doors to allow faster loading and unloading. Side doors will allow docking at more terminals. The latest cost estimate is $112 million for both ferries. That's $5 million more than the previous figure, but still below the amount allocated by the legislature. In addition to Lynn Canal, the shuttle ships could sail to northern southeast villages or Prince William Sound communities. Public hearings are planned for August 20th, 21st, and 22nd in Juneau, Skagway, and Haines. A link to the plan is posted on our KHNS News webpage, and we'll have more details from the report on our Tuesday evening newscast. As the old adage goes, red sky in morning, sailors take warning. In this case, it was the sun that looked red on Monday morning in northern southeast, and it wasn't because of an impending storm, but because of Yukon wildfire smoke filtering the rays into a citrus orange sunrise. There are 86 wildland fires currently burning in Yukon and 6 in British Columbia. The closest fires are at Mount Edzia Park, BC, Mandana Lake near Carmax, and Little Salmon River, Yukon, with 2 others near the community of Mayo. And while those fires are still about 200 miles away, the winds are working in such a way they are pushing the smoke southwest towards Skagway, Haines, and even Juneau. Kimberly Vaughn is a forecaster with the National Weather Service in Juneau.
Kind of swirling it down kind of in a reversed C shape. So it's coming down kind of to the southwest and then arcing back around and grabbing and, you know, drifting it over Panhandle.
The fires near Carmax are producing heavy smoke, which is keeping officials from determining exactly how large they are. A Yukon wildland fire official told the CBC in Whitehorse that the fires are very active and producing columns of smoke an estimated 20,000 feet in the sky. The extreme behavior means air tankers and helicopters are not able to approach the area. While Yukon officials continue battling the blazes, Vaughn said the weather pattern is expected to shift, so less smoke is expected over the Panhandle in the coming days if the fires don't grow anymore.
The good news is the thicker smoke seems to be over you guys right now with less on its way.
For more information on Yukon and BC fires and fire danger in the Yukon and Southeast, visit the Yukon Department of Community Services Wildland Fire Management website. We've linked to that website on our KHNS News Facebook page. The Skagway Assembly last week formally decided that the future public safety building will be located on 17th Avenue and State Street as opposed to the newly acquired property at Garden City RV Park. The municipality is about to finalize the purchase of the RV Park property from the Juneau Archdiocese, and it had been floated as a possible site for a new public safety building. But Public Safety Commissioner Chair Gary Hansen asked the Assembly to approve a commitment to the 17th Avenue and State Street site last week. He said a commitment to that site would allow the project to move ahead more quickly. Some Assembly members said they still question just how quickly the town can come up with enough money to build a facility. But Hansen said the commission is researching grants and state funding options and also wants to put a bonding question to voters this fall. Assemblyman Mark Schaefer said he supported the 17th and State Street site, which would open up other possibilities for the RV park property, like residential or seasonal housing options. The motion to support the 17th and State site passed unanimously. The Assembly also approved a resolution amending parking zones on 7th Avenue and Broadway streets. And the group voted to accept the appraisal of the White Pass Tidelands lease appraisal. The Assembly had asked manager George Eads to research why there had not been any change in the appraisal of the Tidelands in the last 5 years, while residential land assessments in the community increased 13% in the same time period. Eads said in his research he learned that assessors have to consider a variety of things for commercially leased land, like the number of cruise ship passengers, sales tax, and the amount of tonnage through the port over the 5 year period. Factoring in all those things, the 66 acres of Tidelands did not warrant an increased lease value, according to assessors. Hansen noticed that under current assessments, the lease of the Tidelands comes out to about 4 cents a square foot. He was the lone no vote to accept the assessor's report. The Assembly also discussed plans for the Skagway Ferry Terminal and a letter from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority about the ore terminal expansion project. We'll have more on those topics on our Tuesday evening newscast. A state antitrust lawyer says a proposed merger may pit the commercial shipping equivalents of David against Goliath in Southeast Alaska. The plan, announced in April, involves three shipping companies: Seattle-based Alaska Marine Lines, Seattle-based Northland Services, and Sitka-based Samson Tug and Barge. KTOO's Jeremy Shea has more.
AML's parent company, Linden Incorporated, wants to buy AML competitor Northland Services. If that was the end of the plan, Linden would have a monopoly on shipping in Southeast Alaska.
Competing with someone like Linden's a tough thing to do.
That's Assistant Attorney General Ed Sniffen speaking to the Juneau Chamber of Commerce on Thursday. It's his job to review the merger plan, negotiate fixes to the anti-competitive parts, and if necessary, fight it out in court.
I mean, they've been around, they're big, they know what they're doing. You get someone like, Samson coming in and, you know, trying to swing at Goliath a little bit, and you want to make sure they have a big hammer. So when they hit him, he feels it.
Though Sitka-based, Samson right now doesn't operate elsewhere in Southeast. Samson Vice President Corey Baggin says the company only has about 10 employees in the Panhandle, all of them in Sitka. However, Samson announced plans to expand its service in Southeast the same day Linden announced its intent to buy Northland. AML has been touting that expansion as the antidote to its Southeast monopoly. Here's AML President Kevin Anderson.
I think that the competition is going to be as stiff as it is today with Northland, and normally competition tends to keep the prices down. We're not going into this thinking we're going to lose any customers, and if we have the battle for them to keep them, so be it.
Many details of the vetting and deal-making are under wraps, at least until the Department of Law files something in court. But the parties have essentially said that Northland won't be wholly absorbed by Linden. Instead, Northland may be carved up between Linden and Samson in service of the smaller company's Southeast expansion. For example, Baggin said Samson is eyeing Northland's current location on Channel Drive as its future port in Juneau. And if everything goes forward, she says her company will probably pick up 40 or 50 of Northland's employees in Southeast. That last if brings it back to the Department of Law. Baggin says Samson won't start investing and expanding until the merger's greenlit. But the merger may not be greenlit until AML actually has new competition in Southeast.
I don't want to set it up and put a warehouse in with 25 doors and be all ready for nothing and the consent decree doesn't go through. So it's kind of a chicken egg thing right now.
AML's Kevin Anderson says his company's intent with the purchase of Northland is not to monopolize shipping in Southeast, but to expand in Seattle by acquiring Northland's property there and to become a full-service Alaska seafood packager, carrier, and marketer.
The thing that Northland does extremely well is that they're out in the West, Bristol Bay and Kodiak and Dutch Harbor. I mean, some of the biggest fish runs in all of Alaska. We couldn't play in that game.
He also says it's been an extremely painful process.
We've been involved in this process now for, I don't know, close to a year. And it doesn't seem like we're getting any closer. It's just one thing after another, and the amount of time and effort it takes on a lot of people's part to put something like this together is unbelievable.
Sniffen says the Department of Law hopes to have something filed in October, which would open a 60-day public comment period. Ultimately, a judge would have to sign off on the deal. If the department can meet that timeline, Sniffen says the parties would know by the new year if the merger can go through. As far as her company's characterization as David, Bagan was lukewarm.
I think that the history of Southeast Alaska has shown that small companies can be viable and successful and can do a really good job here. So even though it might be a good, sort of a good analogy, I think it's okay.
That history includes echoes of another David and Goliath story. When Linden, originally a trucking company, first got into Alaska shipping, Anderson says Linden wasn't taken seriously because Foss Maritime was the giant. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Jeremy Shea for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.